And I'd ask you to turn back with me to the book of Jude. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, we read, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." In that same context, in fact, the very next verse also emphasizes that we are to shine as lights or as stars in this world. I believe the implication is, in the connection, one of the best ways we can shine as stars in this world, shine against the blackness of this world as a star, is in this area of doing all things without murmurings and disputings. There's a lot of complaining that takes place in our world today. A lot of murmuring, a lot of grumbling. And we as believers are commanded not to murmur and complain. We ought to be able to shine brightly. When you think of a star shining, you think of the blackness behind the star, and in that star you're able to see because of that blackness. And certainly with the blackness of this world behind us, we ought to be able to shine as stars in this area of grumbling and complaining and murmuring. In 1 John chapter 2, we're told that this world is governed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When you really stop and think about it, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will never be satisfied. Our lust will never be satisfied. Our pride will never be satisfied. There will always be discontentment when lust and pride governs our lives. And so if that's what's governing the world, then no wonder there's a lot of murmuring and complaining, because there's no satisfaction, there's no contentment. As believers, we're not to be governed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're to be governed by the will of God and His glory. And there can be satisfaction and contentment when we are governed by God's will and His glory. And so again, we ought to be able to shine as stars in this world. As we said earlier here in Jude, Jude is actually describing the false teachers of his day. And in verse 16 he says, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." He is describing the false teachers of his day, but we need to examine our own lives. Do we fit that description at all? Let's bow in prayer. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes to your truth this evening. Open our eyes to ourselves. Show us those areas in which we are not governed by your will and your glory, but by our own lust and our own pride. And I pray, Father, that we might allow you to work in our hearts this evening as we humble ourselves before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verses 14 and 15 of Jude, we read concerning the coming of Christ, in which he will execute judgment against the ungodly. And it's quite interesting how many times the word ungodly is used in verse 15. But he speaks of judging the ungodly because of their ungodly works and their ungodly words. And so then you come to verse 16, and I believe the connection is that some of these ungodly words for which they will be judged are the words of their murmuring and complaining, and the swelling words that he speaks of in verse 16. For these words there will be judgment when Christ comes. The word murmurings here, or murmurers, is a word that originally simply meant dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. But in the development of that word, it came to refer to to the murmurings or the grumbling that takes place when we are dissatisfied. It was usually used with reference to the murmurings that come about because our expectations go unfulfilled, our perceived needs go unmet, or our supposed rights are violated. As you study this word and as it's used in Scripture, that seems to be the categories in which this word is used. One begins to murmur because they're dissatisfied, but they're dissatisfied because expectations go unfulfilled, perceived needs go unmet, supposed rights are violated. When you consider Old Testament Israel, and this word is used with reference to Old Testament Israel, when they murmured against God. In fact, immediately after being miraculously delivered from their slavery in Egypt by the crossing of the Red Sea, they begin to murmur against God. Why? Well, their expectations went unfulfilled. They came out of that slavery in Egypt and they were heading to the promised land, and obviously they expected that the path to the promised land was going to be easy. I mean, after all, God had delivered them from slavery and he miraculously brought them through the Red Sea, and so what could stop them now? They're going to go to the promised land and everything's going to be a bed of roses, and it wasn't. They began to murmur. Complain because of how God was dealing with them. And their perceived needs went unmet. All at once there was no water. There was no food. And they began to murmur against God. Instead of trusting him, he had just miraculously brought them through the Red Sea. Certainly he can provide water and food for them, but their perceived need at that moment wasn't met, and they began to murmur against God because there was no water, no food. And then when God did provide the food and water, what did they complain about then? They didn't like the food he provided. This manna, how horrible, we want meat. And so their expectations went unfulfilled, their perceived needs were unmet, and really their supposed rights were violated. They really believed they had a right to have an easy path to the promised land. After all, they'd been slaves for 400 years. It's their right to have it easy now. They murmured against God. When you come to the New Testament, we're told that they murmured against Jesus. Why? Why did they murmur against Jesus? He was their Messiah, and yet he did not meet the expectations that they had of their Messiah, and they murmured against him. He did not meet their perceived needs. They believed that the Messiah had to overthrow the Roman government, overthrow the Roman oppressors. And that's what they needed in their Messiah, and Jesus didn't meet that need. They had a right to be free from Rome. Jesus did not fulfill that right. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah because he did not meet their expectations and do what they thought he should do at that moment. And they murmured against him, we read in the New Testament. Jude here speaks of these false teachers as murmurers. Obviously, God was not meeting their expectations. What they thought God should be is not what God was, and they murmured against God. Not only are they murmurers, but in this verse it says they are complainers. What's the difference? What's the difference between murmuring and complaining? Well, they really are synonymous words, but this word complainers is actually a compound word, and it comes from the word that means to find fault or to blame, and then another word combined with that refers to one's part or lot in life. And so literally, this word complainer means to find fault with one's lot in life or to blame another for one's lot in life. They were complainers. They did not like the lot that they found themselves in, and they blamed God and complained against Him. They were dissatisfied with how God was working in their life, how God was leading in their life. They were dissatisfied with the purpose God had for their life, and they complained against Him. They found fault with how God was working in their life, and they were complainers. Certainly we see again that kind of murmuring and complaining today all around us. People are not satisfied. They're not content. Their expectations certainly go unfulfilled. Their perceived needs, and I say perceived needs, and we perceive that we need things when we really don't need them, but our perceived needs go unmet. Our supposed rights are violated. We think we have a right to certain things. We really don't, but we suppose that we do. And they're violated, and so we begin to murmur, begin to complain against God because we don't like how He's working in our lives. We don't like the lot in which we find ourselves. And that's going all around us. Unfortunately, the tragedy is that it happens in our Christian lives as well. We are not shining as stars in this world. The blackness of the murmuring and complaining in this world is so very evident. We ought to be able to shine very easily against that blackness. But we kind of fade into the blackness ourselves, don't we? I've used the example before of what we call a falling star. You know, you see it across the sky and it's really bright and it streaks across the sky, and then all at once it just kind of disappears, doesn't it? Just kind of fades into the blackness around it. And how many Christians have done that? Start out shining brightly and streak across the blackness of this world, and then next thing you know, they just kind of fade into the blackness. And that is very true in this area of murmuring and complaining. Everyone else is doing it. We kind of fade into that blackness ourselves. How often, when our expectations go unfulfilled, do we find ourselves dissatisfied and discontented and complaining and murmuring? How often do we see perceived needs going unmet and we just begin to blame God for it? We don't like the way He's working in our lives. We don't like what He's doing. We don't like what He's allowed to come into our life, and we begin to murmur and complain about it. How often do we think we have a right to have an easy path? And when it's not so easy, we complain and murmur. How often, as God's sheep, do we think that we have a right to be in the green pastures and beside the still waters at all times? After all, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. Don't I have that right? And when God leads us into the valley of the shadow of death, we blame Him and find fault for how He's leading us. We murmur and complain because, after all, we have a right to be in the green pastures. Our expectations of being in that green pasture and beside the still waters are not fulfilled. We find ourselves in the valley and we begin to murmur and complain. Really all has to do with the sovereignty of God, doesn't it? In fact, in Numbers chapter 14, we won't turn to it, but in Numbers chapter 14, we really do see the idea that murmuring against God and faith are polar opposites. If we're murmuring against God, then we're not believing God. If we're believing God, we're not going to be murmuring and complaining against Him. And it really has to do with our faith in His sovereignty. Is He truly in control? Do we believe that? Is He in control because He loves us? Do we believe that? in that control and in that love? Is he working all things together for good? Do we really believe that? If so, then we're not going to find ourselves dissatisfied and discontented with our lot in life. We're going to trust him in it. We're not going to be murmuring and complaining. We're going to find hope and expectation in the promises of God, not expectations in what we think this life should be. Our hope is in him. Our expectations are fulfilled in him. In Philippians chapter 4, we read, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. The circumstances that we find ourselves in may not be circumstances in which we'd want to rejoice as such, but in that circumstance, can we rejoice in the Lord? Can we rejoice in who he is? In that difficult circumstance, can we rejoice in his promises? In that difficult circumstance, can we rejoice in his character? In that difficult circumstance, can we rejoice in his grace and in his love? Can we rejoice in the salvation that we have? In that difficult circumstance, can we rejoice in the Lord rather than complain because he has led us in that valley of the shadow of death? Faith in the sovereignty of God. Faith in his promises. These false teachers had no such faith. They were murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. Again, we see the connection here. If we walk after our own lust, if we are governed by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, then there will never be satisfaction. There will never be contentment. Our lust will never be satisfied. Our lust will never be fulfilled. We'll never get to the point in our lust that we can sit back and say, "Ah, finally, I've arrived." It never happens. So in their lust, they are self-seekers. He describes them walking after their own lust. They're simply seeking for themselves, seeking to satisfy self. The world has been deceived into believing that contentment comes through satisfying the flesh. And we as believers sometimes are deceived in that same way. That satisfaction and contentment comes through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. If we can just satisfy the flesh, we'll find contentment. And so we seek that satisfaction through materialism, through fame, through position, through licentious living, whatever it might be. We seek that satisfaction. We never find it. I've made reference many times, both Sunday morning and Sunday night, to the Wednesday night study in Ecclesiastes that we're going through currently. And that's exactly what Solomon did, isn't it? Solomon wanted to find contentment and satisfaction in life, and so he sought that satisfaction and contentment through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, as you read those first couple of chapters in Ecclesiastes. And in the end, what was his conclusion? All is meaningless. It's all chasing after the wind. He sought satisfaction and contentment through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and he did everything that he set his mind and heart to do, he says. Everything that was on his heart to do, everything that his lust drove him to do, he did it. He had the wealth to do it, he had the means to do it, and he did it, and there was no satisfaction. Meaningless, chasing after the wind. When the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes govern our lives, we'll be complainers, we'll be murmurers. If self-seeking defines us, we'll be complainers, we'll be murmurers. He also speaks here not only of self-seeking, walking after their own flesh, but he says their mouth speaks great swelling words. They were boasters. They were proud. And again, there's a connection here in their search for contentment. They found no contentment through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. There was no satisfaction, and so they tried to fill the void then with pride. Again, in 1 John chapter 2, we see that connection, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we seek to satisfy ourselves through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and when that doesn't work, then we try to fill the void with pride. That arrogant, haughty spirit. We try to lift ourselves up in our pride to try to fill that void, to find satisfaction. Maybe that's where we can find contentment, to build ourselves up through arrogance and through conceit, through boasting. We try to find contentment. If I can just convince myself that I'm better than everyone else, I'll be content. If I can just convince myself that I'm greater than others, I'll be content. If I can convince myself that I'm above at least a lot of people, maybe not everyone, but if I can get myself above others, then that's where I'll find contentment. And it can never bring contentment. And then finally he says, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. That's kind of a cumbersome translation in the King James. The thought is simply that they will flatter others for their own personal advantage. So as they lift themselves up with pride to try to fill that void, to find contentment and satisfaction, they also will flatter others. But as they flatter others, it is for their own personal advantage. If they can please others, then others will reciprocate, and that's where they'll find the satisfaction and contentment. And so they flatter others for their own personal advantage. Now, I couldn't help but think of the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4 where it says that in the latter days people will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, in the latter days, people are not going to want to hear the truth of God's word. They're going to want to have their ears scratched. They're going to go to the one who will teach them what they want to hear. Not necessarily the truth, but just what they want to hear. Somebody that'll scratch their ears. And unfortunately, there are many who will tell people what they want to hear. Why? Because they want to flatter them and please them to build themselves up. Again, it's that idea of seeking to please men so that then men will build them up. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, if we seek to please man, we'll become the slave of man. And there are many who are trying to please man. And as they try to please man, they think they'll reciprocate in some way. They'll build themselves up in some way so that they'll find satisfaction, contentment. It never works. Such satisfaction and contentment can only come through faith in a sovereign God. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says they do not want to hear the truth. They want to hear what will satisfy their ears. They want to hear what will satisfy their lust of the flesh and their lust of the eyes and their pride of life. And it's a never-ending cycle. They never find the satisfaction and contentment. How can we find that this evening? How can we find satisfaction and contentment? There's only one way, and that's through faith in a sovereign God. A God who loves us, who God is in control of every area and every aspect of our lives. God who's in control of every circumstance. A God who is in control out of His love for us, and who will indeed work all things together for good. A God who has promised that we will spend eternity with Him. That's where we find satisfaction. That's where we find contentment. Understanding that our purpose in life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And when we understand that as our purpose in life, there can be great satisfaction. When we are seeking self-fulfillment, when we're seeking the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, there can be no satisfaction because we are at odds with the Creator of the universe. And if you're at odds with the Creator of the universe, how can we possibly find satisfaction? Not only are we at odds with the Creator of the universe, but we're at odds with His creation. He created this world, this universe, to bring glory to Himself. If we're not at the same time bringing glory to Him, but we're trying to bring glory to ourselves, we're at odds with His creation. We're at odds with the Creator. How can we possibly find satisfaction and contentment? It comes only through an understanding of who God is and a faith in that sovereign God who loves us, He cares for us, He's working all things together for good. And when our desire is to bring glory to that God and that Creator, there is great satisfaction. We need to examine our own hearts. Are we murmurers and complainers? Self-seeking through our lust? Boasters with swelling words? Flattering others in order to gain advantage ourselves? Let's bow in prayer. Guide us, Father, this evening as we would consider these thoughts, as we would apply them to our lives. As we leave this place, help us, Father, to know that contentment and satisfaction comes only from You. Humbling ourselves before You, for You resist the proud and give grace to the humble. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Help us, Father, to shine as stars in this world, especially in this area of not murmuring and complaining, grumbling, finding fault, but may others see us glorifying You and living our lives in faith in a God who's in control of our circumstances. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.